Welcome, everyone. I'm Lana. Joining me is the infamous Jesse Lee Peterson, and we're going to have a lively conversation. He's going to share his thoughts on how white people should respond to anti-white attacks. So stick around. Jesse Lee Peterson, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Well, I've watched and enjoyed a few of your shows. I found some absolutely entertaining. And you've actually been daring enough to have people on like Richard Spencer, who are called Nazis and white supremacists. So I really respect that because there's a lot of white leftists that won't even talk to people who are considered white supremacists and Nazis. So what was your motivation for having on some other people like Richard Spencer?
Well, because I like talking to people to see where they're coming from. And I know that people on the side of the right are easily labored by being called negative names. And a lot of people tend to avoid them. But once you talk to them, you start to understand where they're coming from. And Richard is one of those guys. I don't agree with the fact that he's angry, but I do understand why he's angry. White Americans have been on attack for the last 60 to 70 years. They've been blamed for all the failures and fault of people of color, and especially black people, and whites have not spoken up for themselves. And as a result of that, they're being punished unjustly. And so because the parents of the white kids didn't speak up 70 years ago, their kids have suffered in these universities and neighborhoods and communities around the country. And so now they're coming out angry because they know that they're unfairly treated. And so I understand why Richard is angry, but I think he should deal with this anger, with this issue or these issues without being angry.
And how would he do that? I know Richard, and he doesn't actually seem that angry to me.
Yeah, well, we talked about his anger. The way you overcome anger really starts in the home. It doesn't start when you go out into the world. If you don't have perfect parents where the father love was right with all his heart, soul, and might, and the wife loved the father because he loved what's right. If that love is not being passed down to the children, they cause you to become angry. And the moment you become angry, you turn away from your innocence and you wake up to the attitude or personality of the person that you're angry at because you become like whomever you're angry at. And then so you lose yourself and take on that person's identity. And when you go out into the world, because you're already in a fallen state of anger, you start to overreact to situations rather than overcoming them. Then you're told that in the case of black people, that is the white man, is racism. So you start hating them and blaming them. But if you go back and forgive your parents for what they have done to you, because most of them don't realize it, then God will forgive you and he will take the spirit, the identity of anger away from you and give you back yourself. Then you can deal with life with strength and authority and no fear.
Now, I know some therapists will say, well, anger is a healthy step to healing. And sometimes when you realize things, there is a level of anger. In the case of white people, like you said, you know, they're being attacked, they're being blamed for all these things. Pretty much everything is blamed on us. What is the proper response, would you say then?
First, I want to say that you can't trust a therapist. You got to be crazy to go to a therapist, right? Because they're educated and they're dumb. They don't have
They'll
insight.
Give you pills too, yeah.
Right, and they give you pills. And you hear a lot of Christians say that it's okay to be angry because Jesus was angry. They too are dumb and they can't see. And so there is a way for white Americans to fight back. Number one, stand up and speak up. Don't let someone else tell you what you can and cannot say. And if they try to stop you by degrading you or trying to get you away from your job, you know, get you fired back, stand up and fight back. And when they see that you're not going to back down, I guarantee you they will back down because those people don't really have power. They don't have any authority. If they can't intimidate you, if they can't put fear in you, then they end up losing. And we see that happening with the Great White Hope, President Trump, right now. They can't stop him because he doesn't have anger.
That is, well, yeah, it's true. And he's also a very manly man.
Yes.
He keeps it simple and he says, it states the obvious what people want.
That's right. And it was like that when I was growing up. Men were men and women were women. They didn't have that kind of fear. So they stood up, they spoke the truth, they fought back. And this country was becoming great as a result of that.
Now, as a black man, how do you view you know, the rapid replacement of white people in this country, the shifting demographic, you know, we're told we should celebrate because whites are becoming a minority. What are your thoughts about that?
It made me nervous. I'm very concerned about that, because if we get rid of white people and people of color takes over, it's over for America. It would become an S-hole country. And we've seen that where blacks are in control of communities, they're in control of cities, or if they're in control of a state or anywhere, it's total ghetto. They don't know how to run anything. They don't have the moral fortitude. They don't have the insight to build. They only have the insight to destroy. And we saw an example of that with Barack Obama. And he was the so-called first black president. And within an 8-year period, he nearly brought America to her knees. He nearly destroyed it. Everything he did was about destruction of the country rather than about building. And so if we have the blacks and the Hispanics and so-called people of color taking over, we're going to have the same situation in America that we see in South Africa, mm-hmm. where the blacks have taken over there when, as far as the government and other areas of life. And now white American land is being taken away from them. They're called racist and hatred. They're being robbed, raped, and murdered, gunned down. And the government itself is trying to take the land without compensation. Mm-hmm. And if blacks and Hispanics or people of color take over America, that's what's going to happen to America.
Now, for us white folks that do realize that, how do you view, you know, separatist movements of white people that say, I don't want to be a part of that. I want to go live over here and be away from that. Because, you know, in America, they don't really allow the freedom of association idea anymore. They come and have their diversity quotas and say this area is too white or this area needs more refugees. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I would suggest that they not run. If you run somewhere and create another state or another city and it's just made for whites, then the whites in that town or in that city would turn on each other, because they're not coming together in love. It's based on color. It's based on the inability to stand up and fight evil with good. So it would never work out. It's just like being in a family. If you overcome and now you're living right, you're succeeding in life, you're speaking your mind without overreacting, you don't have that anger, your family members will turn on you and put you out of your own home. And so the same thing will happen if white Americans decide that they want a brand new state or a brand new country with just whites only. Because evil dwells in people just as good dwells in others. And if you don't overcome evil, you're going to kill one another. Because if you can't get to the person that you hate, you're going to turn on the one that you love.
Yeah, I mean, people are always going to fight. I don't think this planet is ever going to be peace and love. I don't think that that's what it's about here, actually.
It's unfortunate, but it should be. It can be, and it should be. You know, we started White History Month, right?
Yeah, that's right. White History Month. July. Correct.
July is White History Month. And the reason that we started this year, July 2018, because white people are under attack and they're not speaking up for themselves. They're not fighting back. They're not the same white people that built this great country. And I live in this country. I was born in this country. I was born on a plantation down in Alabama under the Jim Crow laws.
That's right.
And I am grateful for that. And it is my country. And so if we lose white history, we're going to lose America. And if we could have something called black history, Chinese history, Mexican history, homosexual history, women history.
Yeah, it just goes and goes.
Why can't we have white history?
Yeah, that's right.
And we can if white people were bold enough to do it. So yeah. It took a black man to do it. And I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. And it's been overwhelming.
And sadly, white people look at you. You could say the same things that I say, and you won't be attacked for saying it because you're black. You know, it's just, it's the simple truth. It drives me nuts, but it's the truth, you know.
But I am attacked. I am attacked on a daily basis.
By your own? Or by everyone?
By black people, yeah. White liberals, and I'm radical homosexuals. I would call Uncle Tom sellout, yeah. The N-word. They threaten my life. I get it on a daily basis, but I don't care. I love what's right. I love my country. I tell people all the time, I am not an African-American. I don't have an Afro. I have an Amerifro. There are no African drums beating in my chest. The American guitar is playing in my heart. Born on a plantation in Alabama, black as the ace of spades, but 100% American. And I'm not going to let these people just take my country because they call me names or threaten me.
I do think it's okay, though, to embrace, you know, you originally your ancestors are from Africa. Mine are from Russia, from Europe. So I think it is good to remember your roots and embrace them, but that doesn't mean that we have to automatically fight over it.
That's right. Well, my roots started in Alabama, and I definitely remember it. But I don't remember anything about Africa. I couldn't find my way there if I had to. And when I get there, they're going to call me an American. They're not going to call me African. And anyone who calls themselves an African-American or a Mexican-American, and they were born here, they're an idiot. They need help very bad.
So I have to ask, you know, this race situation is just escalated. It's just through the roof. It's just insane, you know. How do we solve this problem, specifically between the history of blacks and whites in America? Do you think that there are any groups in particular who have agitated blacks or planted seeds in their mind to hate white people? What are your thoughts?
Without a doubt, because I had that when I had anger, I believed it to the lie once I moved to L.A. at the age of 18, because I wasn't taught that in Alabama at all. But when I moved to L.A., I believed into the lie that white people were holding me back, and they was holding me back because I was racist. And the people who were pushing the lie was the so-called civil rights leaders, Jesse Jackson, Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton, the NAACP, most of the black preachers, the liberal white godless media, and the liberal white godless Democratic Party, and some of the rhino Republicans. And when you hear that growing up, over and over and over and over again, and no one is there to say they're lying to you, you tend to believe in that lie. And because we live by faith, whatever you believe in control you. And so I believed into that lie at one point, and it wasn't until I started to examine things and question, well, if white people are holding me back and I'm black, why is it that they're not holding the race hustlers back? And that's when I realized I had been lied to. But yes, they're definitely pushing that on. And Obama pushed it like no other president in the history of America.
Yeah, exactly.
The fallen Messiah was the worst of the worst, the most weakest, evil, radical, socialist, lying, pathetic, poor excuse of a man and poor excuse of a president we ever had. And he divided the races like no one has ever done in the history of America.
And he's half white, which is kind of funny.
So, I know.
You know, I've actually heard from blacks who lived in the Jim Crow era that they said that blacks actually did better back then than now. I mean, you've lived through it. What are your thoughts on that? And I know you've also critiqued the civil rights movement. What's your biggest critique on that?
I 100% agree that blacks did better under the Jim Crow laws than they do with freedom now. And the reason for that, for the most part, blacks were immoral people. We were not told that the white man was evil and he hates you because you're color and trying to hold you back. With the Jim Crow laws, we were told that it was the government. It wasn't all white people, because there were white people who were not for that. It was the government, and it was the Democratic government, the Democrats who were doing that. Blacks got married rather than having children out of wedlock, for the most part. Abortion was unheard of. We bought land. Blacks bought land. They educated themselves in their own schools. They came back as professionals. And they thought for themselves. They didn't think in groups. They didn't think like they were a tribal group. They thought as individuals, and that way they were able to determine right from wrong for themselves. And now all of those things are gone. Blacks no longer get married for the most part. Black women who are born in America, 77% of their children are born out of wedlock. Abortion through the roof. They hate white people. They hate the Mexicans. They hate the Jews. They hate the Arab. They hate everybody and their mama. And they are blaming everybody for their problems because they are not a moral people. Not all. But most black people are suffering not because of this phony idea of racism, but due to the destruction of the family and the lack of moral character. There is no such thing as racism. It has never existed. It's a made-up lie. It's an illusion. There's no such thing as racism, sexism, homophobiaism, Islamophobiaism. No isms. Our battle is a spiritual battle. It has nothing to do with male or female. It's either right or wrong, good or evil.
Now, you are clearly, you're very special, Jesse. Not a lot of people think like you. So what is the solution? How do you get more folks thinking like yourself? I mean, I don't know if this, you know, blacks and whites in this country, are they ever going to truly get along, or is separation going to be the only way?
First of all, no, good would never get along with evil. And so you have good blacks, white, Hispanics, Asian, Japanese, Chinese, that love was right with all their heart, soul, and might. And you have evil blacks, white, Chinese, Mexican, Asian, everybody who hates what's right. And they are on the same side. So you're never going to have good and evil getting along. And every day, and I hear it on my radio show, my TV show, we're on Newsmax TV Monday through Friday in over 50 million homes, newsmaxtv.com. And I hear from people around the world. I'm counseling with people from around the world, men and women. And when they understand that they got to forgive their parents so they can overcome that anger and wake up and have perfect peace, when they wake up, they see for themselves that it's not about male or female. It's not about color. And so they come together with men and women who believe in the same God and has become that way. We're never going to get along with evil, and we're not supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a great family. I don't think of myself as an angry, bitter person. But when I think of what's happening to our countries and European countries and how they're under attack, of course I'm going to be angry. I'm alive. You know, if your lands are being invaded and your people are being brainwashed, you're going to be a little pissed off, though, right?
No, you should discern, but not be angry. You should see evil, but not be angry at what you see, because evil will overtake you and it will control you. But you discern it without the anger. So see evil, speak up, but don't hate. And in honesty, when you really think about it, white people can't blame the people of color for taking over their countries and running them out, because it's white people who are allowing it to happen.
Sure, yeah. White and people Jewish. Yes.
People cannot do to you what you don't allow them to do. And white people, especially white men, have clearly displayed fear over the last 60 or 70 years in this country and in European countries. They have displayed anger. They try to appease the people of color instead of being honest with them and speaking up to them and dealing with them. Whites have a false sense of guilt, as though they're really responsible for what's wrong with the people of color.
Yeah.
And so as long as white people have that false sense of guilt and that appeasement personality, they will always lose. It's never going to change until they turn away from that.
Sure, yeah, it's an inner thing. Now, have you thought about the root origin, if there's any group that's programming or the inception point of kind of the fall of white people, this self-hating, the self-hating attitude that we have, the allowing our countries to be destroyed? Have you thought about that, where that inception point is, or if there's a particular group that's maybe put those ideas in someone's head?
Well, you know, from what I can tell, and it may have started prior to that, but it started 60 or 70 years ago, maybe a little longer, when the liberals, both black and white, started to take over. And that includes liberal whites, liberal Jews, liberal blacks, liberal Mexicans, whomever's in charge, and they are liberals because they're not of God. This whole deception started way back then, because you have to realize, I call the liberals the children of the lie, and their father is Satan. And so their job is to deceive, to destroy. And that's what they have been working on, and they have done it by destroying the family, removing the man from his home, and leaving the wife there with the children. And it's easy to deceive and take over the lives of women and children. But it started, I know, for black people about 60 or 70 years ago, and it could have been going on longer than that. But it's anyone who is a liberal because their father is Satan, and their job, they're doing what they're supposed to do, to deceive and destroy.
Yeah, I'd say probably a lot of Marxists, the Frankfurt School, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, a little cultural Marxists who have really took over the institutions in America after World War II. I think that's when things really started going downhill in America.
Well, it definitely happened in our public schools educational system for sure. And that's why I believe that parents who send their children to these universities and to the public schools don't love their kids because they know that this is happening, but they send them anyway. And I've talked to some white folks on my radio show who are sending their kids to these inner city schools, these public schools, and their white kids are getting beat up and abused every day. And instead of the parents taking them out, they keep sending them back, and they're doing it because they want to appease the blacks and the Hispanics. They're trying to prove to them that they're not so-called racist, not realizing that these people hate them for their color, and they blame them because they think that white people are the ones that help holding them back. I don't know why white folks would continue to sacrifice their children generation after generation.
So what should they do? You said put their foot down. Of course, I absolutely agree with
take
that.
Take them out.
Should take them out. Should they be deporting people from their countries? Should they be moving somewhere else? Should they be separating? What should we be doing from your point of view?
Several things. That's a good question. I would immediately take my kids out of the public schools so I can protect them from evil. Then I would work to get the illegal aliens, those people who should not be here, deported. Right away, send them back to wherever they came from, and then put a big, beautiful wall around the borders so that they can't come back. And if they should come back, arrest them and send them back. And then change the laws where if we gotta have people in, I think that we need to shut it down totally so we can clean up the house first and then rethink how to do that. And then if they gotta do it, bring in people who are decent, who believes in our morals and our values, who want to assimilate, not bring their asshole country ideas here. We need to be very careful who we let in, but we got to clean up the mess first.
Last question for you, because I know you have to run. Multiculturalism. Do you think it really works?
No, it never will. It has never worked. We know it doesn't work. It won't work. We got to get each individual to overcome the fallen state. And when they do that, they will return to love. And we have to love people based on what's right. You can't force that to happen. It's a horrible mistake. We should have never allowed that to happen in our country.
All right. Any closing thoughts before you go, Jesse?
I really want to say to folks that the beginning of freedom is to know thyself. You have to get to know yourself to see and understand what's driving you. And once you see that, you will overcome it. You will wake up and become an individual. And inside of you is the kingdom of heaven. It's power and authority to overcome evil. And you will see that the battle is not about color. It's not about male or female. It's about good or evil, right from wrong. And until you get to know yourself and develop perfect peace, you're never going to be able to overcome evil. Even if whites went and built a private state, blacks move and live with Louis Farrakhan, the Mexicans live with the Mexicans and their folks, you're still going to have a battle going on because you're controlled by evil. You must forgive and overcome evil.
Yeah, I think there'll be problems, but it might be a little bit nicer for white people if we had
our
own white towns back again. Well, a little less problems.
It'll be nice, but believe me, white people will end up turning on each other.
Yeah, they always do. Yeah, I mean,
you will have the good and the bad together, and they won't get along.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in any kind of utopian fantasy here where I think that, if we just have these white ethno states everywhere, there's not going to be any problems. Of course, there's going to be problems. There's humans, you know.
That's right.
Jesse, thank you so much for your time today. JesseLeePeterson.com is the website. We'd love to have you back sometime.
That was a hoot nanny. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye.
So that was fun. Jesse gets it. He gets a lot of things. I may not agree 100%, but I agree with a lot of things. And no, I didn't have him on just because he's black and I need to virtue signal about how I'm not a racist. About anger. I disagree with a couple things he said about anger. For one, the gods gave us the emotion for a purpose. So while I agree that holding on to anger and bitterness for too long can be self-destructive, in my view, anger does have its place and can be constructive when focused and transformed into something useful. Like when you're in battle, for instance. I don't feel love for the people who opened the gates into European countries, those who call for the end of white people, and for those who introduced degeneracy of every sort into the minds of our youth. I won't love and forgive them, for that would be destructive. It would be surrendering to evil, in my view. but it doesn't consume me. It's just one spectrum of my human emotion and just one spectrum of emotion that I feel about the entirety of what's going on. But despite everything, people who know me know that I'm actually a very cheerful, kind person. I'm nice to everyone I meet on the street. Anger doesn't drive me. It doesn't motivate me. Instead, it's the love for the truth and love for my fellow Europeans. A huge thanks to everyone who donated after PayPal recently banned Red Ice members from using their subscription service. We lost all our members overnight. Because of you, we're going to be around no matter what comes our way. I have a feeling it's going to be more of a bumpy road coming up with more censorship, more banning. But despite it all, we're still here and we're going to keep going because of you. Good news, we've implemented and diversified other ways that you can subscribe. So head on over to redicemembers.com and re-sign up, or sign up if you haven't yet. I know we're in this for the long haul, no matter what. Love you all. See you on the next one.